two organizations which are going to be presented. And we're going to switch them around a little bit how they're in the program just to make you have to think. Our first one we're going to have is Outdoors for All Foundation. And I've got down Kenna Chapman, and she is the Custom Event Program Manager. So, Kenna, do you want to come up? And each organization, because of our time, a bit of our limitation, has 15 minutes to share. All right. You might want to leave time for questions.
You want us to take that?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. You want to stand?
Anywhere you want. I'll go over here.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for coming today. My name is Kenna, like she said, and I'm the Custom Events Program Manager. So we'll kind of go into what that is, but just a little background on me. I actually moved to Seattle about 2 years ago. My background is in sports science, kinesiology. So I love outdoor recreation. So I took that into leading programs, which we'll also go into. And I have Brayson with me.
Hi, everyone. I'm Brayson Pope. I also work with Outdoors for All, alongside with Kenna in our custom events department. I'm one of the program coordinators that helps facilitate and organize those custom event partnerships and some of those outdoor recreation activities that we'll go into here in just a bit. I guess, first of all, we'd like to welcome everyone here. I'm glad that we've got a good number of people interested in maybe some information on Outdoors for All and what we do as an organization as a whole. So first, I guess we can go into kind of the history of Outdoors for All and where we started and what led us to our mission and why we do what we do. In 1979, we brought originally 35 adolescents up to Snoqualmie Pass for a ski program. It was kind of a random put-together event with a few volunteers, which has now led to us seeing just about 3,200 participants in an annual year through programs. So we went from 35 original participants to now just shy of 4,000 in the year, which is really wild. So from 1979 till now, that's been Outdoors for All's growth. We originally started that year in 1979 as a nonprofit known as Ski for All, which we then renamed in, I believe it was 2006, for Outdoors for All, because we expanded our programs and opportunities for individuals in the community beyond just ski programs. In 1985, we added Nordic skiing and cross-country skiing to our programs, which still to this day, we are now one of the largest providers for adaptive and inclusive Nordic and cross-country skiing, which is really neat that we get to have that reputation and known for that. Let's see. We're in 2006 when we did kind of that rebranding and looking at what Outdoors for All's visions for the people that we were reaching, because there's a large demand and we wanted to capitalize on that. So we changed, like I said, our name to Outdoors for All, and we created our mission, which was to enrich the lives of individuals with disabilities through outdoor recreation. And we've stand true to that still to this day. And I know when we are looking at our programs, we idolize and look and refer to our mission and what we are doing as a whole and how we can better impact the lives of the people around us. With that, like I said, we're now running various programs, and Kenna will go into more detail on the different activities that we provide and kind of our staffing. With the near 3,400 participants that we reach in an annual physical year, that does require a lot more than just the about 18 staff members that we have. So we've just looked in our last few years, and our volunteer base to help run these programs, we're looking at about 700 to 800 volunteers that people in the community help us lead and facilitate and work alongside us to make sure these programs happen. which is really, really neat that there's that many people that are willing to take time out of their lives to come and assist us with programs. So just shy of 800 volunteers. We serve ages 5 and up. So we run day camp programs for youth and are in some school districts. So we like to say that that five years old and older is our main criteria. Of those participants, we've 70% of them are under the age of 21, which is really, really interesting that we've got such a large youth participation, which is really cool. 65% are cognitive and developmental disabilities. 21% of our participant base is physical impairments, and then 8% is sensory impairments, and then there's a 6% that is under the other classification. So with participant surveys that we do post programs, we've collected statistics that show 94% of our participants have enriched or have responded that their quality of life has been enriched through our programs. 86% have increased some type of physical fitness and endurance. 89% have gained a greater sense of independence, which we really like to highlight and see that growth as well. 93% have higher levels of confidence through participation in our activities, most of which have never done some of the activities that we have, which is really neat to see our participants and share those success stories that someone hasn't been able to ride a bike in 40 plus years, and we have the adaptive equipment to get a participant back on a bike, which is really cool, or whatever activity that we're doing. Another 93% of our participants have gained more meaningful social connections and relationships. So that's showing that our participants have gone to a program, whether it's a series or a different community partnership that we've hosted, and have either developed friendships or relationships with those other organizations or within the people that were also participating in the events, and has become a recurring event for them and for other participants. So with that little bit of history, I can hand the mic over to Kenna, and she can talk more about our programs that we offer.
Cool. So, excuse me, going off of what Brayson just said about our participants, just a little background. Obviously, we want to have these opportunities available and hopefully get to the point where you all can rent a kayak or rent a bike and come and do that with a significant other or a friend. So our goal is definitely to get everyone out, teach them in our programs, and then promote all that independence so you all can come. So we do also have rentals in our programs. So just a few programs I want to touch on. Cycling is one of our biggest programs. So we added cycling first after, obviously, we were skiing. So that's kind of one of our major programs. We take cycling events basically all over the state. So we'll take our trailer full of cycles and we'll drive up to Leavenworth and provide an event for a group up there. We'll drive them down south of Seattle, down to Tacoma. So we can take those all over. But we are based out of Magnuson Park, which is just up north of Seattle by the University of Washington. And we have our adaptive cycle center up there. So that's open during the summer for people to come in. You can do bike fittings. You can rent a bike. And you can bike along Lake Washington. We do have tandem bikes, which is great. So you can come and ride with a partner that can steer and kind of guide you along the walkways by the water. Or if you're able to, we also have, you can take two bikes, you can bring a friend, and they can rent a bike from us as well. We also do learn to ride programs for youth. We take bikes into schools and provide educational programs on cycling safely, how to wear a helmet, how to follow the rules of the road. So it's a little bit more child-oriented. And then some of our other programs, we have rock climbing, we have kayaking. Like Brayson said, we have youth and adult day camps during the summer. We have military programs that right now is mostly based on mountain biking, so a little bit more on the adventurous side, downhill mountain biking. And then we also do hiking and camping trips. And then, obviously, right now, it is, what is it, November? So we're going into winter, which is going back into our ski programs. Some of our other winter programs that people might know a little bit less about, we do have Nordic and cross-country skiing, and then we also have a snowshoe program. So if you want to take it a little bit slower and not go downhill, you can join our snowshoe. And then, again, we have downhill skiing, both at Snoqualmie Pass and Stevens Pass, depending on how far you want to go and what kind of terrain you're looking for. So that's just a quick background. So I want to go into what me and Brayson do is custom events. So basically, I know it might be a little confusing, but if you have a group, whether it's a group of friends, whether it's an organization, a nonprofit, a business, work friends, basically you can reach out to us and we can create an event for you. So that might mean packing up a bunch of tandem bikes into a trailer, driving them down to wherever you work, and we can cycle in the parking lot, we can go on a trail. Basically, we plan that event for you. We do programs like that actually with, I think some people who work with DSB in this room or at this conference. We work with Lighthouse for the Blind doing some tandem cycling with their programs. We bring a bunch of tandem bikes and, work with them kind of in a partnership. And then we also do programs with DSB, the DSB Yes program, which is youth. We actually take them camping. And through camping, we add other activities. So we've gone rafting, whitewater rafting we did this summer with them. It was a lot of fun. Did you go on that trip?
We went kayaking,
yeah. So, go ahead.
2010 and 2011.
Yep, I don't think I was around then. So we kind of switch it up. So we go camping and we'll do hiking, we'll do kayaking, we'll do whitewater rafting, kind of depending on the year. So obviously some people come back, so we want to make sure we keep switching it up. And then we also work with the DSB OTC program, and I've just started working with DSB South. We do rock climbing with them. We do, we did kayaking, and we do a big tandem cycling event and have a big barbecue. So things like this where you might have an idea and say it'd be really cool to bring some tandem bikes down to our picnic or different ideas like that. That's what we do. We want to get creative and provide the opportunity for you all. Let's see. Oh, the other thing with that that's super exciting is we offer financial aid. We also offer financial aid for the group events. So if you have a group, obviously that's not based on any kind of income. We want to provide financial aid for everyone. So no matter what, depending on your age group or kind of where you are in the city, we provide 40 to 90% financial aid on most of those group events, which is super, super helpful. And then lastly, really quick, I just want to talk about, is Cindy here who I was emailing with? She left. Oh. Okay, so Cindy invited us to come and speak, and thank you so much. And she kind of remembered, I know we've worked with her in the past, but we worked with Microsoft this summer on a Soundscape hack. Does anybody here use Soundscape? Yeah. Woo! Okay, so we did, I don't know if Cindy's talked about this at all, but we're working with them to create, through Soundscape, a independent kayaking program for people who have visual impairments. So basically it guides you through that app to different locations that we can put on, you know, a lake that we're kayaking on or a different area. So you actually can get into a kayak and without having a guide, follow the sound. You have headphones on, obviously, while you're kayaking. And you get to follow the sound on Soundscape. So we've been testing that out with, I think Cindy came and actually did one of our test runs. We've been working with them. So, you know, if you have anything like that, people reach out to us, and we want to partner, and we want to bring opportunities like that to everyone. So we'll let you know if anything else. It's not public yet, so it's not out there, but... if you have any questions or you're interested in signing up for some of our programs, like I said, this winter we're coming up on our 7-week program. So we have, Saturdays we do Nordic skiing and cross country skiing and then, sorry, Nordic and snowshoe. And then Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday we have downhill skiing. So if you're interested in finding out about that or getting financial aid or finding out what the costs are, feel free to reach out to us, and we will help you. Does anybody have, actually, let me ask first, has anybody in this room participated in an outdoors? I know there's one or two back there. Has anyone participated in an outdoors for all event? Yeah, make some noise. Yeah, there you go. All right, we've got about 5 or 6 people. Anyone have any questions? I think we're coming down on our final time, but I know I just talked a lot, so yeah. It depends on the program. I mean, for the most part, we do. It depends on the program, and it also depends on the visual impairment. Mostly, yes. So downhill skiing, obviously. You know, if you're needing that guide, then we do provide that one-on-one. Yeah. And there was another question. Oh, there's a lot of questions. Okay, cool. He's coming with a mic, so you can, everyone can hear.
So are you going to be around after the, after the sessions are over today, because I would like some more information on how to get signed up with some of your upcoming events.
Yes, we can stay until, is there a break after Vision Connections goes? 4:30. Yeah, we can hang out for a little bit, and if for any reason you miss us, we'll leave some flyers out somewhere. My name is Kenna Chapman. It's spelled K-E-N-N-A. Is this, you guys got that? Okay, so Kenna, K-E-N-N-A, and then my email is Kenna C, the letter C, at outdoorsforall.org, completely spelled out. And it's a plural outdoors, F-O-R-A-L-L. org. I can give you my phone number too. It's 206-838-6030. Almost forgot it. 6030. I'm extension 217. And we have another question.
Yes, I have a question. I do a lot of going on the Columbia River, and my biggest issue is getting in and out of the boat because the Columbia River is very, you know, wavy. And this last time I almost did a split. Do you do private teaching for somebody who's sight impaired how to get in and out of the boat without, you know, doing a split, their body going one way. It was not a pretty sight because I like to do inner tubing and, you know, water skiing and that stuff, but it's the getting into the boat from the dock.
Are you kayaking on the river?
No, I'm just doing inner tubing and, you know, water skiing that, but it's the dock, you know, it's not stabled. The dock is kind of floating. And then, of course, the boat is, and the water is very rocky because it's the Columbia River. It's over by Lincoln Rock State Park. And so that was where I'm wondering, do you do private lessons to show person, help a person get ideas how to get in and get out of a boat without killing themselves?
We do, yes. And if you come, mostly that would be at our Magasin Park office, but we can set up private lessons or private sessions. And you can come. And the other thing that might help is seeing some of the equipment that we have. So we have some different ways that we load kayaks that makes them less tippy or safer. We have different things that we can add to a boat or an activity to make it so that there's pretty much no way it's going to flip over, obviously depending on, you know, what you're using. So we have both some skills in kind of working with that as well as equipment that might help you make that more stable. Great. We will stick around for a little bit, and if not, we'll leave pamphlets out in the lobby.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
There we go.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, nice to see you.
There's so much to share.
Nathan? How about a door prize?
What'd you say?
How about a door prize, right? Do you want door prizes?
Yeah, she's here.
Are you sure you guys want a door prize?
Yes.
Okay, there we go. All right. I wasn't sure. I didn't. Okay. All right.
So for the remainder of the afternoon, we can just call me the Tooth Fairy because you don't even have to lose a tooth and I'm going to give you money. Yay! I'm going to give you 25 smackers from King County, Council of the Blind. And by you, I of course mean... somebody whose name was upside down.
That will be my name.
Koichi Tanita? Nope. No? Okay. How about... oh, come on. Stuart Russell has to be in the room. I saw him earlier. Not here now. All right. You know, the people that I actually know sort of well have been the ones whose names I've drawn, and they've all been out of the room. How about Chris Brame? I know Chris. Is Chris in the room?
Is he working exhibits?
Is he work? Okay, well, if he's working exhibits, then he gets a prize for the Tooth Fairy.
All right, well, I guess it's time now for the next panel, and that is going to consist of Vision Loss Connections with Pat Copeland, who is the Executive Director. And Sherry Richardson, who I believe was the past Vice President of Vision Loss. And Tony Brown. All right, guys, take it away.
Well, thank you very much, everybody. What a warm welcome for Vision Loss Connections. And we are so pleased to be here at the convention. It is like coming home to be at the convention and so many people that we know. And I also want to start out by telling you that we have actually a panel here to talk about the different programs of Vision Loss Connections. But I'm not going to bore you with a lot of statistics, but I did actually stay up late last night, and I was just counting some of the different activities that we have done, and this is activities with tickets, okay? Now, we have done four more other things. We've done museum tours. We've done so many things that did not require tickets, but with tickets... we have done 67 different events, and that is 2,419 tickets that we have coordinated. So that is many plays and many different kind of activities, and we have big plans, actually, as a growing organization to modernize and actually make things more accessible and more activities affordable for people in the blind community. But another very large part of our program is Goal Ball. Now, how many people here have heard about Goal Ball? And how many people have heard about the Seattle King and Lady Cobras? Yes. Well, we have a cobra sitting right here. And this is Antonio Rozier, who is a goal ball player extraordinaire. And he is also a coach, along with Ben Mariano of the Seattle King Cobras. So here you are, Antonio.
All right, thanks, Pat. So it's good to be here, and Pat asked me to talk a little bit about Goal Ball. Before I get into that, just to give you a little bit about me, I'm Antonio Rozier, new to the Seattle area. Been here almost 3 years now. Sports has always been my thing. I was in cross country, track, wrestling, swimming, you name it, I had to do it. So when I got introduced to goalball way back in about middle school, I had something that really stuck with me. I was like, I have to do it and I got to stay involved. And I always wanted to be a part of a team, an adult team, build an adult team and go to have something that's very competitive. And I think with Vision Loss, with Pat's support, Tony, and all the Vision Loss board support, that we are building a team here in Seattle that's going to be competitive and go to that next level. So goalball started after World War II and for soldiers who were coming back wounded and still wanted to be a part and have something to do. And then in 1976, it became a Paralympic sport, and today is still a Paralympic sport, and it's over all the way in all the states, and then in Britain and Canada, and we're hoping soon to maybe attend a tournament in Canada. So with the King Cobras, I've been playing with them for about 3 seasons now. Overall, I've probably been playing 15-plus years, and we have an adult team. We still look for some youth to add to another team. We hope to be able to take down to, you know, play in some of the youth tournaments and all that. The sport is played on a rectangle court that's 9 by 18 meters with a ball weighing about 2.8 pounds. And it's 3 players on each side of the court in a triangle form, and they're to block the ball. It's rolling on the ground. Some folks at the national level can get it up to 40 miles an hour. So you can imagine the ball coming to you that fast. It's a triangle. You have a wing, 2 wings, a center, and they lay out on their side to kind of block it. I think we do have a ball around here that, you know, maybe one of the volunteers want to either roll around, but it has bells in it, as you hear. Approximately 8 holes that are in this ball, and, you know, to make the bell sound as it rolls down around the court. So I think a ball is going to come around, check it out, pick it up. It's kind of thrown like a bowling-type throw. There are several rules to the game about the ball that has to touch the floor in certain areas and all that, and penalties. So we look to build a ladies' team soon. So any ladies that are wanting to get involved in goalball, please let Pat know, or any other guys. We'd love to have you as well. Any questions around our goalball program? So Ben and I actually have run practice on Tuesday and Saturday. Tuesday it's 4:30 to 6:30 at the Veterans Hall over at on King Street. That's 1212 South King. And on Saturdays it's 5 to 7 at the Rainier Community Center. Thanks to Parks and Rec for making all that happen and supporting us for the past few seasons. So our goalball season runs from about September to April, and we attend different tournaments and do different things and scrimmages as well. So any questions? All right, and I'll turn it back over to Pat.
Well, also, let me tell you that today I was talking with someone who was on the first Seattle goalball team, which was 30 years ago, and they never won a game. So, actually, they made it easy for us because, and listen up now, the Seattle Cobras are quite a championship team. And they took first place last April in the Cascade Classic tournament down in Portland. And then they just competed in another tournament in Tacoma just a couple weeks ago. And they won 5 out of 6 games. Yes. That's just amazing. And Antonio is very modest, but he has a goal ball throw that is just amazing. So we really want Seattle to catch the goal ball spirit because we want to be your community team. And again, we do play. There is another team in Tacoma that we play called the Tacoma Typhoon. And you can boo if you want. But actually, we love the Typhoon. And some Typhoon players have been Cobras and vice versa. So it's all in the spirit of sportsmanship and goal ball. And I also wanted, we do a lot of other things. We have also done, and some of you may know us, for the work that we do with Audio Described Theater. At the Fifth Avenue has been our close partner. And another little statistic that I got last night. Now, we know that theater can be very expensive for people. And what we want to do is make theater affordable to people in the blind community. So working out, again, some statistics with that 2,419 tickets that we've handled, we approximate that we have saved people in the blind community about $181,000. So so, and everybody likes a little more change in their pocket, right? Right? So, anyhow, we are moving on to a new phase, and we, again, are very happy to have some board members here, and Sherry Richardson, who is the immediate past president of Vision Loss Connections. She's been president for 4 years, and we are going to modernize some so that we are able to offer you more opportunities for both sporting events, theater, music events. And here's Sherry to tell you a little more about it.
And Sherry, you have 2 minutes.
Okay, I'll talk really fast.
Talk fast.
So first of all, I want to say that past president is my most favorite office in the world. I love it.
Anyway,
I am really excited about the new idea that Pat and the rest of us are working on right now. And basically that is to build a website where we can offer discounted tickets to various arts events around Seattle and the Puget Sound, and hopefully maybe sooner or later elsewhere, and make those available to people who are blind, and usually one other person can accompany them. So this would be for sporting events. It would be for arts events. And we're just now starting to look at how to do this. So it will probably be a little bit of a year or so before we can roll it out. But that's what's coming. Thank you.
Okay. Well, and Julie, you said that's about it. Is that right?
Hey, you have about a minute for questions. If anyone has a minute question.
That's okay. Any questions? And I know the goal ball is going around too, which I'm, you know, a lot of people have not heard about goal ball, and it has been around actually since the 1940s.
Wow.
We call it the premier sport of the blind community. That's so.
Oh, question right at the back.
Question.
On my way.
Well, and we really like people to get exercise. That's what we're all about.
Hello, my name's Amber, and I wanted to know approximately how many goal ball players are there in the state, and have we ever sent a team to the Paralympics?
Antonio, do you want to take that one, or?
Well, at least here in Washington, I don't think they've had, I know it's a limited number of players here in the Washington area when it comes to that, but I do know of some folks who have played at the national level, went to the Paralympics, and I actually used to practice with some of those guys who helped me condition and things like that. So the United States is very active in goal ball and at that level.
All right. Thank you so much, you guys.
Oh. And thank you to the, especially to Washington Council of the Blind, to Julie and Nathan Brannon.
All right. Well, how about another door prize? Anyone want a door prize?
Yes!
Okay, wake up. It's time for the door prize.
Thank you. Coming.
Hopefully it'll have my name on it. We'll see.
I mean, I'm not going to get a chance to sing at the talent show, so I kind of feel like this is the time to go, da, 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 money! I've got more money to be giving away. And we are going to be giving away another $25 from the King County Council of the Blind. And that's going to go to Shannon Curry. Pearl Thomas? Or Dina Pearl Thomas. Nobody's clamoring for that. Who is it? Dina Pearl Thomas.
It is Dina Pearl Thomas.
She here?
Are you here, Dina?
No.
All right. Okay. How about Rita Dillick?
Rita.
I don't think she's in the room. Okay. Missing out on some money. Okay. Oh, I hope you're in the room. Viola Benson.
Sorry.
Ah.
Come on, Shannon.
Jacob.
How about Reg George? Are you in the room?
He's left. Reggie.
I missed it twice. Haley Eggers?
She could change her name for
today. I mean, she could. She's honest. I appreciate the honesty. Okay. How about Maud Valentine?
She was the speaker. I think
they had to leave. Okay. All right. All right. How about Holly Vague?
Hello.
All right. Well, the odds keep getting better and better if I take out all these names. That somebody in this room is going to win this $25. Dustin Crichton?
Dustin, are you here? OTC student.
Nathan, come close.
Well, at least you know I'm not cheating. I haven't rigged this game.
Whoever's going to be doing that and then the speaker.
All right. Come on, come on.
More comments.
Mark Muyenzi?
He's another student. I don't think he's here.
Okay.
Where's my cane?
J.R. Kennison?
Nope.
This isn't good.
Patricia Johnson? All right!
I need my cane, though.
I don't know where it is, Julie. Sorry.
Nathan, don't be so crabby in the microphone.
You need it
please.
Some more?
Yeah, thank you, but don't be so crabby.
Here you go.
All right, this is Antonio one more time. I just want to make a quick little plug for USABA, which is United States Association for Blind Athletes. So if you're looking to get involved at the national level to be on that goal ball team, you can reach out to those folks. They support that team. Also, any of the programs that are mentioned by Pat, if you want to look up visionlossconnections.org, visionlossconnection.org. Thanks.
Okay, I guess it's time for the chapter roundup. And let's see.
What chapters we're going to be coming up for the chapter roundup? Are you on the schedule here?
Say it into the mic here.
Oh, I don't think Nathan needs to do that. Can you help me find my key?
Oh.
So, that's Todd Holloway and with the Tacoma Commission. And
okay, the chapters that are supposed to be coming up are Beatball, Snoqualmie,
and King and Whatcom.
I've got a microphone right here if you would like to talk.
Let's
from here.
You dropped your name tag.
Do you want me to start?
So how are we doing this? I'm kind of stepping in here. So I see here we have Todd Holloway and Luke.
I have a mic. I'm Linda Wickersham with the King County chapter.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. First, I'd like to mention that we have a member, Heidi Campbell, who every month on her own collects all money that she can for the food bank and food for the food bank. And so far this year, we've given the King County chapter over $150 to the Seattle food banks. And then John from Medic One comes and teaches a CPR course every year. And believe me, that's not easy. You've really got to put in some strength to pass that course. And he doesn't just hand out the cards. You have to pass. And then we had, like at our last meeting, the League of Women Voters came and spoke about the different ballot issues. And it really was quite informative. This woman, Allison, is just super. I must have heard from 8 members how much they appreciate and how she clarified everything. And then we also have a penny drive that we collect pennies every month. So far we have $67, and our goal is to send or help send a blind child to camp. And then Tim Snabeck, one of our members, tries to have a barbecue at his home every summer for the chapter members. And believe me, a good time's had by all and plenty of good food. And we also try to have access from Metro come and talk about up and coming changes such as fares and policies at our meeting. And sounds like though we can't get anybody from Metro to talk about bus service anymore. Apparently Metro says there'll be no more public meetings. So that makes it hard. We've tried for several months to get a person to come and talk about bus problems because we have several members who take the bus and they tell us they will no longer allow their staff to come to public meeting, come to, you know, meetings. And I don't know what to do about that one. I've tried. And I just want to let you know we meet the fourth Saturday of the month at the Blue Star Restaurant. 4512 Stoneway, and you're all more than welcome to come. Lunch is at 1, and the meeting starts at 2. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so now I think we're up for the county on... Sorry about this. Hang on a second. Yeah, Commissioner on Disabilities in Tacoma, right?
Correct.
You go ahead and take over for me.
Thank you. Well, thank you, everyone. My name is Todd Holloway, and I'm here with Luke Byram. And we're going to give you kind of a two-for-one this evening. Luke and I were invited here by Lori Allison, who is my co-chair for the Commission on Disabilities in Tacoma. And Luke is a commissioner as well. And he and I gave a presentation in Washington, D.C. this past summer for the National Council on Independent Living. And we talked about creating advisories and the type of commissions and how all that's put together. So I'm going to let Luke introduce himself, but before I do, can I get a show of hands? How many folks in the room are a member of a advisory commission, council, or board? Wonderful. That is good to see. I'm seeing not as many as I'd like to, but I'm seeing plenty of hands up. Thank you. And I see a lot of faces that I know in the audience too, and it's very refreshing. So let Luke introduce himself, and then I will go from there.
My name is Luke Byram. I'm a college student at Tacoma Community College. I also serve on the commission. I chaired a commission committee, and I'm on the board for Center for Independence, and also was the first youth member of the Tacoma Commission on Disabilities.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you very much. So our two-prong approach today was to talk to you a bit about forming advisory committees and how important that is. And the second piece of that is we had on the agenda that we were going to talk a little bit about inclusive emergency management or inclusive emergency preparedness. And that, of course, is the involvement of people with disabilities. We have advisory groups across the country who look at what is necessary to make sure that people with disabilities are at the table with emergency planners when they're in the process of making rules and regulations and making preparation plans for what to do for not just planning but response and recovery as well. So without further ado, I'll talk a little bit about that. I'm happy to answer any questions that we have when we get to the end. But before that, I'd like to hand it over to Luke, and we'll start with advisory councils, commissions, and boards.
So the terms of the various advisory boards are interchangeable, and they differ among the jurisdictions. And they have different powers associated with those. And in the independent living movement, there's a motto called nothing about us without us, which means that we ought to be at the table when decisions are made, regardless of what they are.
And Luke would be the first to tell you that in the city of Tacoma right now, Lori and Luke are both looking at an issue in which Luke created a paper for the use of Lime bikes. This is new to me. They're an electronic bicycle that is being used on the streets of Tacoma. And as you can imagine, there's a lot of things that weren't taken into consideration because they were not doing nothing about us without us when they created that project and set it out there. So there's been a lot of concern about people leaving bikes just anywhere and the safety involved with how fast those motorized bicycles can go on public right-of-ways and sidewalks, so places where pedestrians are.
So there are many different reasons why we would want to join advisory boards. Most of them are personal to us. For instance, for me, I want to be involved with my community and meet other people and looking to create positive change.
So when Luke actually started with the Commission on Disabilities in Tacoma, as he mentioned, he was the first youth member, and he's beyond that now, but he is still very active with our group. And one of the things that he wanted to be clear with people when we talked to him in Washington, D.C., was the methods used to form advisory boards. And there was three basic steps. There was resolutions, ordinances, and motions. And the Tacoma Area Commission was formed by a resolution, correct?
I think so. I believe so.
So I'm going to let Luke talk a little bit more about how we got involved with that. And he can also maybe share some of the frustration he and I have with trying to determine when we're actually at quorum, which I'm sure there's a lot of you in the room who've probably run into that same issue.
So quorum has to be reached for a meeting to be held because they are public meetings, and we are held to the Public Meetings Act and the Public Records Act. And so you need to be careful and aware and cognizant of that. There are also different types of advisory boards, such as committees, board, commission, like the Commission on Disabilities, and a task force, and each one is slightly different in terms of its definition, depending upon the jurisdiction.
Very good. And those definitions and classifications of boards vary quite a bit. I'm just going to read to you the bullet points that Luke has here. I'm going to cheat, because he has them laid out nicely and I could never remember them. One, the terms are often used interchangeably, so you'll often hear of somebody's advisory commission sounds very much like another group's advisory board. A little uniformity of terms and classification of the bodies between different municipalities. So if, for instance, I'm on the Pierce County Accessible Communities Advisory Commission, and there's a lot of similarities, but there's also a lot of differences there as well. So definitions of an advisory body differ among jurisdictions. Although the names differ, the responsibilities assigned to the bodies are similar. And unless the naming system is used that defines the powers associated with the names, the label given to an advisory body has little meaning.
So, for instance, a task force is for usually a very limited and defined scope and time limit, whereas a commission and board is more long-term, and whereas a board may have administrative or investigative powers, whereas other bodies do not.
And one of the things that we're working on right now in recruitment, when we did this presentation, we were fortunate enough to be able to have a video clip that Luke has been involved with TV Tacoma, another great resource that you may have depending on the municipality that you're working with would be their access to a radio station or a TV station. But along with that, we had brochures, and what we've determined we're going to do going forward is having rack cards, and the reason for that is a couple of different common sense purposes. We have programs that are in place. We wanted to have closed captioning added to televisions in public places in the city of Tacoma, and I know when I'm talking to this group, you're saying, what about visual descriptions? I haven't forgot you. We're there, but one of the biggest problems I'm finding there is in some places it's hard to even hear the audio from a television set, let alone try and hear visual descriptions. So I'll talk a little bit more about that when I talk about emergency management and public alerts and warning systems too in a little bit. But the RAC cards is something that the Tacoma Area Commission on Disabilities is working on right now. And Luke is a big part of that as well.
Also, very often, most of the municipalities have these advisory board or commission opportunities listed on their website for which you need to fill out an application and oftentimes go through an interview process to be appointed to such a body.
And this is one of the areas where we're really fortunate to have Luke and Lori. Lori Allison is a built-in web accessibility human being in our group, so we get some of the, and some of you have probably participated too as well. We have gone out of our way to try and have people who are blind and deafblind participating in some of the accessibility issues to make sure that we're 508 compliant with the website in Tacoma. And I don't think we're there yet. Lori, shake your head if you agree with me. She's laughing. We're not there yet. No. We're getting closer. We're getting closer. But as all of you know, that this is an ongoing frustration and something that we continually deal with. But along with for joining an advisory board, you really need to have the access to the application if you're going to do it. And if not, accommodations need to be met. And that's something that we work with a lot in an IL center, but we are also trying to make available accommodations available at the city level and the county level as well.
Who makes the appointments depends on the jurisdiction. So for state, that would be governor. For county, that would be county council. And for the city, that would either be the mayor or city council. The number and size of advisory boards varies by the jurisdiction, as does the term length. For example, the City of Tacoma's Commission on Disabilities has a 3-year term limit.
And then you can, of course, reapply after that, but I believe there is an actual limit to the number of terms that you can do. With us in the process of doing recruitment, as we have people sunsetting off of the commission, we're anxious to get new people in. And this is where the folks that are actually commissioners really help out in getting people to not only know that we exist, but getting them to help us with getting the recruiting done itself. So I'm going to move on a little bit more now. We've got to term limits, getting advisory boards organized.
So with getting advisory boards organized, it's important to attend an orientation if one is available, which most jurisdictions have. Also, to have a strong bylaws, develop an attendance policy, and setting up committee structure within a commission and other tasks like that. In regards to setting up structure, it's important to set up a committee structure, as that is oftentimes the most effective way to provide structure to an advisory body.
And one of the strengths, as Luke was mentioning, we have policies and procedures, and there's also partnerships that we'll talk about in a little bit. But we also pay close attention to the blurring lines between for instance, Luke is a board member of our Center for Independent Living. I'm a staff member, so when we're having conversations, we try and keep our boundaries as to which commission we're talking about, what board meeting we're talking about, and not cross over to inappropriate areas. It's not an easy thing to do sometimes, but it is definitely definitely worthwhile to know what those rules are and share them with the members of your advisory group. Along with that, were you done with policies and procedure? Okay. So what I would say with the partnership between the Center for Independent Center for Independence in Lakewood and any Center for Independence that you have here in King County, that would be the Alliance. It is a really good idea whenever you can have a member of the board or a member of the staff be a commissioner on that commission. This is where you can share information and you're talking to and for and on behalf of and advocating for those same people that you're seeing on a daily basis. So when we're dealing with a particular issue that we can see as a problem for our community, we know that from working with the individuals from the community, and that transfers over very nicely to working with an advisory group.
For example, some of the topics and issues that we have addressed as a commission, while, and in particular, Center for Independence has been involved, are there's no need for a formal partnership because, as Todd mentioned, to make sure that there's no conflict of interest. As Todd also mentioned, we are also working on a education campaign to implement closed captioning in public establishments. We are in an ongoing effort for several years now on to create a taxi service for people with disabilities in the Tacoma Pierce County area. And CFI has offered to be a subcontractor with city funds in regards to taxi services when the service is established. And as the commission, especially Lori, has increased electronic access to websites and other city media platforms, which would be of particular interest for those who are blind. And as Todd has extensively worked on, strengthened access to emergency networks at the city, county, and state level. And also, and I think most importantly, because we all like to celebrate achievements, to support celebrations of people with disabilities in a Disability Advocacy Award for our City of Tacoma's City of Destiny Awards program. Another important thing to consider is goal development and strategic planning, as it is important to include people with disabilities in goal setting that are affected by decisions, participate in a strategic retreat planning meeting. Another effective way is to use SMART goals. I'm not sure if any of you are aware of those, but that's an effective way as well. And goal-oriented planning is most effective as it's productive as you are working towards a shared vision in a partnership. And it is important to have people with disabilities and particularly independent living, as Todd mentioned, like either a board member or a staff member, to be at the table when decisions are made regarding the disability community.
So in about 5 minutes, maybe? Questions at the end? Pardon? Oh, now is a good time for questions.
This is Lori.
Hey, Lori.
I just want to let everybody know that everything they've talked about is accessible to the blind. If you find something that is not accessible online, you call the human resources for the city or county, and they have to fill it out for you or make it accessible for you. And the cards they were talking about that Tacoma is working on, some of them will be done in Braille. So if you guys are afraid to join a commission or any type of thing like that, contact your city human resources and make it happen.
That's a very good statement, Lori, and it's accurate.
Coming.
Hello, I am a former commissioner. I think I might have been the first blind person on the commission, at least for the city council members I was presented with when I first joined. But it was a great experience. I'm wondering if a general member of the public puts in an issue, such as audible pedestrian signals, does somebody on the commission go through to verify that those things are done as it is written they are? Because, for example, one accessible signal that is now in, I was told was in a year before it ever was. They said, oh, yeah, it's there. But they were thinking, probably looking at a different intersection. So I'm wondering if there are people on the commission that actually check to see in a walkthrough, I mean, physically tell if the changes that are requested have been done as it is documented.
So let me be clear. Are we talking about the City of Tacoma or the City of Seattle's commission?
I was on the City of Tacoma commission.
City of Tacoma commission. Thank you. And I'm going to give this over to Luke, but one thing I would say is, definitely we have a champion with Gail Himes being on the city's, she was the ADA coordinator, and she does a lot with that group right now. Hold on a second. Here we go.
As Todd mentioned, Gail is our primary point of contact, as she has now moved over to the Public Works Department and works closely with Curtis Kingsolver, who is the Public Works Director. And the commission works very closely with that department to ensure accessibility. And in fact, those two people are coming to the commission, I think next week, to give us an update.
On Friday. And to add a little bit more to that, I've noticed, and I point out, whenever I'm visiting another area, like the University of Washington in Seattle, if there should be an audible signal, and there's not. The things that really catch my attention are truncated domes and things that seem to lead people who may have visual disabilities into oncoming traffic. That is a huge problem that I seem to see everywhere I go. And I long for those audible signals because it makes it easier for everyone to be able to safely get around. I hope I answered your question okay. Thank you.
It's almost 4:30. Anyway, just a quick one. It's James, or JR. I'd like to find out is if I am on ADA Bremerton and ADA Kitsap, and I was just wondering, is the any affiliation between from Tacoma to Kitsap County area?
I don't think so as far as an advisory council goes, but I can say that if Kitsap does not have a disability or an accessibility advisory group, we can certainly help you with getting established. Luke and I both work, and Lori as well, are aware of the Governor's Committee on Employment and Disability, and they do have funding that can help start advisory groups for accessibility in any county. Now, the caveat there is that it has to be at the county, so Kitsap would be the appropriate place to do that. But that doesn't mean that there couldn't be one, say, in Bremerton or one of the larger cities there as well. But if you have my contact information, I'll make sure that you do for Luke and I. We can certainly find out from the municipalities there who would be the person to contact for the advisory council in Kitsap. I hope that answered your question.
Okay. Nathan?
Yes, ma'am.
Somebody waiting to speak.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
So my name is Doreen Cornwell, and I think this is a great panel. A couple things come to mind. This Lime Bike, electric bike, scooter, bike share thing. It's very fashionable. They want to be everywhere. There have been several companies in Seattle for a trial period of a year. One really important thing that happened in the city council recently was when the year period was up, the council was looking at different pieces, and our friends at the National Federation of the Blind got it together to go to city council and build in some ongoing review processes for making sure that the bike share companies pick the bikes up, that there's not a... I spent a lot of time just... taking pictures of bike share bikes and tweeting them out into the world because I'm into Twitter, and some of the Seattle transportation professionals know my name, for better or worse. But it's important to say that they are being pitched as the way to get from your house to transportation or from your transportation to your destination. That's called first mile, last mile. That's the buzzword. And they really do want to be in lots of places in Washington. So it's one of those things where if you hear about it or you trip over it, trip over bikes, it'd be worth sort of people from WCB putting our heads together, because there's different issues with the bicycles and the electrified bicycles and the electric scooters. Like, some places there's jurisdiction and ways to regulate, and some there aren't, and I don't have them all at the top of my head. The other thing to think about is that there are some things like federal transportation regulations that actually require transit agencies to have an ADA advisory process of some sort, and if you have energy to do it, it is totally worthwhile. I love all the things people have said, because I have learned a hell of a lot. I kind of stumbled into it, but it's totally worthwhile to think about whether the advisory process you need is in fact required, and you need to nudge your county government to do it. That's my soapbox. Again, my name's Doreen Cornwell, and I can go on for a long time. One really important thing going on in King County right now is the Access Paratransit contract is up for renegotiation, and if you live in King County and are familiar with Access, some of you will understand why one friend of mine calls it abscess, but there's a lot of people really motivated to try to do something about that.
Just to wrap it up real briefly, the commission is urging our city council to create regulation regarding this, and Lime Bike is not the only company. There's another one as well. And the latest news is Lime Bike has asked the city to extend the trial period, while Bird, which is the other company, has not yet done so. So we are taking action and encouraging regulation and tracking and monitoring that situation very closely.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Just give him a hand. All right. So, a moment here. So I think we're about at the end of our day. Do we want to do door prizes, or is there enough?
I've got one more.
One more. Okay.
All right.
Let's do it.
This is going to be one more. Well, if my braille display would work, that would be really, really fantastic. So I could tell you what this is. Here we go. I've got another $20 from the United Blind of the Tri-Cities.
to give away to somebody that's hopefully in this room that will be there on the first try. If I say it loud enough and mean it, maybe that will be what happens. So. Oh, it's Frank Cuda.
Frank?
Frank, are you in the room? Oh. I thought I had a sure thing. All right. How about John Amateur?
Yes.
Right. All right. All right. Yay.
Wait. Frank is over in the corner asleep.
How appropriate is that? That's awesome. All right. Are there any?
I don't know what to do about that.
Oh. Oh, Frank.
Well, you can't be sleeping.
Yeah. Okay.
No, just the one.
Okay, so Frank got his prize?
So did Frank wake up? All right, I guess it's going to go to Frank. Sorry, John, I'll put your name
Sorry.
Back
in. Should give him a consolation prize. Okay, are there any final announcements or anything, folks? With that, I guess we're done. Thank you very much for coming today.